earlier this week, it was Ascension Day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was on Thursday, the 14th of May. But I decided to preach on the Ascension Day, so we have a different text to draw off of, and the one that I chose was actually the verses immediately preceding our first lesson from today from Acts chapter 1. So I'm going to read you Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Here ends the text. Every day we are flooded with messages. Email inboxes fill up our inbox before breakfast. Text messages buzz in our pockets. Social media notifications compete for our attention. We have news flashes that alert us across our phones. Artificial intelligence can now answer questions in mere seconds. Advertisements follow us from screen to screen. Some of these messages are helpful. Some are entertaining. Some are misleading. Some are simply noise. We have learned to scroll past, mute, block, delete, and ignore more information than any generation coming before us. Yet in the middle of all these competing voices, there is one message we dare not ignore. This past Thursday, the church celebrated the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although Ascension Day itself may have passed on the calendar, the reality of Christ's ascensions continue to shape the life of his church every day. Just before ascending into heaven, Jesus gave his disciples this promise. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That is the theme that stands at the center of today's text. Power. Not worldly power, not political power, not the kind of power our world chases after, but the power Christ gives through his Holy Spirit. When many people hear the word power, they picture massive strength, great force, or impressive authority. Years ago, the television show Home Improvement built an entire comedy around that idea. Tim the Tool Man Taylor always wanted more power. If a tool worked well, he wanted a bigger one. If an engine was fast, he wanted it supercharged. 110 volts is good, but 220 is definitely always better. More power, more noise, more force. Of course, the joke is that all that extra power often ended with sparks flying, smoke pouring out, or something exploding in Tim's face. That really is how our world thinks about power. Bigger, stronger, faster, louder, more influence, more control, more success. Our culture admires people who appear powerful. Social media celebrates influence. Businesses pursue power. Governments seek power. Even technology promises us more and more power at our fingertips. And if we're honest, Christians sometimes think that way also. We may imagine that being Christ's witnesses require us to become spiritually impressive people, fearless people, highly skilled people, confident people. We think power means eloquence, influence, charisma, or success. But when Jesus speaks about power in Acts chapter 1, he means something entirely different. The disciples are standing there with Jesus after his resurrection, still trying to understand everything that had happened. They had seen his suffering. They had witnessed his death. They had seen the empty tomb. They had touched the risen Christ. Yet they still had questions. They still wondered about the kingdom. They still struggled to see the full picture of what Christ and through what God was doing through Christ. Then Jesus ascended before their eyes. The one who had walked with them, had taught them, had suffered for them, had died for them and risen for them, was now lifted up into heaven. A cloud hid him from their sight. The disciples stand there looking up into heaven until the angels finally ask, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" Jesus had not abandoned them. He had not disappeared from his church. Rather, he now reigns in glory at the right hand of his Father, ruling all things for the good of his people. And before ascending, he gave this promise, "You will receive power." Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, "Become strong enough, impressive enough, or persuasive enough to build my kingdom." He does not tell them to trust in their personalities, in their abilities, or their influence. Their power would come from the Holy Spirit. And that matters, because if being Christ's witnesses depend upon our own strength, we all would fail miserably. Most Christians do not see themselves as powerful. We know our weaknesses all too well. We know our fears. We know how we often stay silent when we should speak out. We know how easily we become distracted by the world. We know how often we hesitate because we fear rejection or we face criticism. And the disciples themselves were not naturally powerful men. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. The disciples fled in fear during Jesus' arrest. Thomas doubted the resurrection. After Easter, they hid behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jews. Yet these are the very men Jesus sends out into the world. What changed them was not human courage or determination. It was the Holy Spirit. Jesus fulfilled his promise. The Spirit came upon them at Pentecost, and the Spirit worked through the Word of Christ. The Spirit gave them faith, boldness, and strength. And that same Spirit still works today. The power Christ promises is not worldly power. It is the power of the gospel. St. Paul writes in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Through the preaching of Christ crucified and risen, the Holy Spirit changes hearts, forgives sins, comforts consciences, and creates faith. That power does not always look impressive to the world. Water poured on a child's head in baptism does not look powerful. bread and wine placed in trembling hands does not look powerful. Words spoken by a pastor, "I forgive you all your sins," does not sound powerful to an unbelieving world. But they are. Because it is through these means the Holy Spirit works. Through these gifts, Christ Himself comes to His people. Through these gifts, sinners are forgiven, faith is strengthened, and eternal life is bestowed. That is why Jesus could promise His disciples power, even though they themselves were weak. Because you see, the power was never about them. It was always about Christ. And that remains true for the church today. Christ sends His people into the world as witnesses, not necessarily famous witnesses, not necessarily influential witnesses, but faithful witnesses. And that witness happens in the most ordinary places. A parent teaching a child to pray. A Christian friend comforting someone who is grieving. A believer inviting a neighbor to church. Someone using social media to encourage rather than to tear others down. A Christian refusing to compromise the truth, even when the culture and the world pressures them otherwise. A congregation gathering around word and sacrament week after week after week. These things may not trend on social media. They may never make headlines. The world may never consider them powerful at all. But they are powerful because Christ is at work through them. And our world desperately needs that kind of power. We live in an age overflowing with information, but starving for the truth. Technology advances rapidly, yet human hearts remain burdened by guilt, fear, loneliness, and death. Social media promises connection while often producing anger, envy, and division. Artificial intelligence can answer questions and generate conversations, but it cannot forgive sins or raise the dead. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ says, "Your sins are forgiven." Only Christ conquered death through His resurrection. Only Christ reigns ascended in glory while still being present with His church. Only Christ gives a kingdom that will never end. And so the ascended Lord continues His work through His church. He sends His word out into the world. He pours out His Spirit. He calls weak sinners to be His witnesses. That is most comforting for us, because there are days when we feel anything but powerful. We feel weak against temptation, weak against fear, weak against grief, weak against doubt, weak against the pressures of this world. But the promise of Jesus still stands. You will receive power. Not because we are strong, but because Christ reigns. The ascended Lord who sits at the right hand of the Father has not abandoned His people. He rules all things for His church. He sends us His Spirit. He continues to forgive sins and strengthen our faith. And perhaps that is one final lesson we can borrow from Home Improvement. Tim the Toolman Taylor always believed that more horsepower and bigger tools would solve the problem. But human power has its limits. Human strength eventually fails. Human wisdom breaks down. But the power Christ gives is different. It is the power of the Holy Spirit working through the gospel. It is the power that forgives sin. The power that comforts troubled hearts. The power that strengthens weakened faith. and the power that raises the dead. That is the power of your risen and ascended Savior. And because he reigns, his church will never, ever be without his power, his presence, or his promises. The ascended Christ still rules over all things for the good of his people. He still sends his Spirit through word and sacrament. He still gathers his sinners around his gifts. He still strengthens his witnesses in a weary and broken world. And one day, just as the angels have promised, the same Jesus who ascended into heaven will come again in glory. Until that day, the church lives not by fear, not by worldly strength, but by the power of the risen and ascended Lord. And to God be the glory. Amen.